Okay, so we're on Tzadichet tonight. This is Ksuba Tzadichet 98a. If you remember yesterday, we spoke in the Gemara. A woman is entitled to mezonos, to support from her husband's estate, until she gets paid for the ksuba. Once she's paid for the ksuba, then no more support from the estate. In other words, she's checking out of the estate. And according to one version we had in the Gemara,
Partial.
The Orshim can even, give her the ksuba, and then she's like history. So in yesterday's Gemara, we learned a machloket tanayim between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Reb Shimon says if she's paid for part of the ksuba, she loses her mezonot. And the Chachamim say until she's paid for the whole ksuba, she's still on the gravy train with the mezonot. So now, if we look at Sadichetim and Aleph, I'll pick it up from the second line from the top. Sadichetim and Aleph, the second line from the top. So it says, "Ahiyat the tafs the kasp of ktubata." It was a woman who sees a silver cup in payment for her ksuba. In other words, the husband died, I guess, and she decided to grab the silver cup, but that was just part of the ksuba payment. It says, "Katava mizone." So she wanted to keep getting mizono. She wanted to keep getting support, but the Yisomim said, "We'll see around, toodles." So he says, "I tie the kami to Rava." So everybody came before Rava. Amar luhu liyatme. So Rava said to the Yatomim, to the orphans with Yorshim, "Zilu havu la mizone." I think you should still continue to pay her mizonot. He says, "Late the chash lahad Reb Shimon." Nobody holds from the Tana Reb Shimon who says the Amar lo mina miksa kesef b'chol kesef. So Reb Shimon says, they don't say that if some of the money is due and owing, it's as if all the money is due and owing. In other words, if all the money is due and owing, then you're entitled to mizonot. So you don't say if only some of the money is due and owing, it's as if all is due and owing. So he says, so you don't get the mizonot. Says nobody holds from him. So that's the end of that piece. Okay, now, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good?
You know, as long as you make partial payment,
Then you're that's
it's
history.
done.
You're done.
No
You're
more,
done.
no
But,
more mizonot.
yeah, but over here the Gemara says that Rava didn't hold like Reb Shimon. Okay, I'm going to move on. Now we're around the sixth line from the top on Sadichet Amud Aleph. Rava Bered the Rava the Rav Yosef. So Rava the son of Rava sends a message to Rav Yosef. Mocherish. So if you remember, we had in the Gemara and. It's a Mishnah Masechet Gittin, and in front me Nechse Yitomim lo Tifra lo Beshuah. If an almana gets money from Nechse Yitomim from the estate, she has to take a shvuah that she didn't get anything paid before, because we have to know we're starting with a clean slate. But here the Gemara is addressing a different shvuah. Here the Gemara is addressing the shvuah that when she sells the property, does she have to take a shvuah that she didn't get more from the property than her ksuba? In other words, she took Green Acre in satisfaction of her ksuba, but what's to say she didn't get, let's say the ksuba was 10,000, maybe she sold Green Acre for 12,000, So does she require, do we require her to take a shvua that she didn't end up with more money than she's due? Let's think back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Shalatli Rabba Brez Rabba Yosef, Ocheret Shil Bebeitin, Shrika Shvua. Now, she's selling without authorization from Beis Din. Remember, we had in the Mishnah yesterday, right? But according to the Chachamim, she has a special heter, to sell without the authorization from the Beis Din. Remember, we learned two possible reasons for that. It was either that a husband doesn't want his wife to be debased, or because of Chinah, we want to make it, enticing for them to do it. But she could sell without authorization from the Beis Din. So he says, So Rav Yosef says that Tzibailach, you should ask. I don't know if she's sending the message back, because Rabba Bar Rava sent the message, so I know it's a message back the other way. This is the Tzibailach Hachraza. He says, why aren't you concerned, or whether it's that she should have to do a Hachraza? It means when the Beis Din seizes property from Yitomim and then sells it, so it goes through a process. It goes through like an auction, like, and they give notice to the auction for 30 days, and then there's a public auction. So the way the Rit Law takes it, if there would be a hachraza, so then I wouldn't be concerned about this at all. In other words, if it's a public auction, then I know exactly what she got. Do I hear, 10,000? Do I hear 11,000? Do we hear 12,000? Sold to the bidder for 12,000. So then I know she got 12,000. So he says, how come you're asking this question? Why aren't you asking whether there should be a hachraza or not? So it's going to come out that he, the Makshin, Rava Bar Rava, is going to say, as far as I'm concerned, there is no public auction. We'll see in a minute. If you buy like a Raza, so Amar Lay, now they seem like they're talking to each other. Before he sent the message, now he's speaking to him. So Amar Lay, Hakraza Lo Kamabayali. So Rava Bar Rava says that I don't have any problems with Hakraza, and it's clear to me that it does not require Hakraza. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar of Nachman, Alman Shushama La Atzma, Lo Estava Lo Klom. That Rav Nachman has a halacha, if an almana, shami, she appraises it for herself, she's lo asav lo klum, meaning if an almana decides to take a piece of property and not sell it, but to keep it. In other words, let's say Green Acre is part of the husband's estate, and she says, you know, Green Acre is equal to my ksuba, I'm taking Green Acre, I'm keeping it, that's it, that's the ksuba. So the Gemara says, so Rav Nachman says, lo asav lo klum, that the Yorshim can come and say, listen, we're paying you for Green Acre, we want it back. In other words, the fact that she decides on her own, you know, that this is it, doesn't mean that that's it. This is lowest level of club. So, hey, Dami. So, what is the fact situation that Rav Nachman was speaking of? Either Achruz, if there was a public auction, you know, a Hachraza with it, am I lowest level of club? So, what? Why is that? What's wrong with it? In other words, everything's on the up and up. There's a public auction, and then she's the highest bidder for it. You know, 12,000, and that's the amount of her ksuba. So, you know, it's like it's like a wash. But then, so why is it that the Yorshim can come and take it back? Elav the lo achruz. Is it not the Rav Nachman was being a case where there was no public auction? So we're thinking, you know, the whole who the thing doesn't seem like a fair deal at this point in time. In other words, everything wasn't above board. So the Yorshim can come and take the property back and, you know, pay her whatever her ksuba is, but that's it. So for herself, like with self-dealing, without a hachraza, she didn't do anything. But if she would have sold it to somebody else, even without a hachraza, then it would have been a good deal. Meaning, we think, and this is the way the art school, I think, had it, that in other words, if you have a public auction, that's sort of like a guarantee that everything's above board. I'm selling it, we know what you're selling it for and everything else. So here, the fact that she's selling it to a third party, it's not as good as a public auction, but it's less likely that there could be sort of, you know, finagling going on. In other words, like you're selling it to somebody else, and we trust that you got the money that he agreed to pay. So see back in the Gemara. So that being the case, we think that we have a proof where Rabba Bar Rav Yosef, Rabba Bar Rava, thinks he has approved that in Achinami that the almana does not have to make a hakraza. As long as she's not self-dealing, she does not require a hakraza. So my question is, Rabba says to Rav Yosef, Rabba Bar Rava says to Rav Yosef, my question is, does she have to take a shua that she didn't get more money than she didn't realize more in the sale than she was entitled to? So Rav Yosef answers, Leolam da Achruz. He says, no. So Rav Yosef says, I could say there was a Hachraza in that case. Uda Amri lo man shamlich. But Yisomim could say to her, in other words, Mimi kibat mechirizu, lo mi beitin, lo mi yitomim, lo yitzak karkim, shud yitomim. Yeah. In other words, maybe there was a hakraza when you kind of, you know, took the property for yourself, but you're still not entitled to keep it for yourself. In other words, you're just a shliach to handle. In other words, you're an essence doing our shlichus. When you're selling the property from the estate, you're acting as our shliach. You're not allowed to self-deal and keep the property for yourself. So it's not a raya mukrecha that there was not a hakraza. It could be that it does require a hakraza. Now, let me just do a few more lines, and we'll pause, and we'll summarize, and we'll go back. Okay, it says Kihai Dahu Gavra Dafkiru Gabei Kista Diatme. Like there was a certain man that they gave Kista Diatme. Kista Diatme. Rashi is Tupshatim. Either Kista is fodder, which is animal feed. They gave him. They gave him the animal feed to hold on to, and either to sell on the behalf of the Yitomim, or else he had a claim against the Yitomim. He says, Azal Shamalanafshe Ba'arba Zuze. So he evaluated, he decided, and he evaluated that it's worth 400 zuz. Now Rashi, the other pshat is it might be Carl. So he says, Azal Shamlan Afshe Bar Muzuz. So he went and he evaluated it for himself for 400 zuz, and then he's buying it for 400 zuz, the animal feed. In other words, he evaluated that it's worth 400 zuz, and he's paying 400 zuz for it. So Iyakar, and then the price went up. Tam b'shitma, and now it shot up to 600 zuz. So Atma Tamid Rabbi Yami. So then there was a whole siksuch. You know, how is it, you know, you gave us 400 zuz, and now it's worth 600 zuz? And they had tainas for Rabbi Yami. He was given, you know, custody of this to handle this property. Either where the art school had it, he was a creditor, or else he, the way the Masipta had it, that he was, you know, authorized to sell on behalf of the Yitomim, but like with self-dealing, he said it was worth 400 zuz, and now it's worth 600 zuz. So he says, Amar lei, mishamla. He says, who authorized you to buy it for yourself? So in other words, the point being that when you're a shliach acting on behalf of the Yitomim, you're not authorized to buy the same item that you were authorized to sell to somebody else. Okay, let me just do one more line, then we'll summarize, then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the Gemara says, V'hilpaka shricha shvua. The halacha is that an almana does require shvua, and again, this is a second shvua. She has to take a shvua that she didn't get more money than the ksuba was worth. He says, V'ena shricha hakraza, but she doesn't require a hakraza for her sales. Okay, let's just go again what we went through, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, nice to see everybody. I wish people were here in the sukkah with a nice, healthy sukkah aerated. and I wish more people were here in the sukkah, but it's nice to have you all via Zoom. Now, so the question we said, first we said that according to the Chachamim, an almana is authorized to sell property that belongs to the estate even without the authorization from the Bezdin. That's the, right, for her ksuba. That's the way the Chachamim hold. And in Akinami, she's doing that. So then we said that the Mishnah says in Masechet Gittin, Hanifra minichse yitomim lo yifra ela b'shua. If a person is taking, you know, assets from the yitomim, they have to take a shvua before they take the assets. The shvua is that they didn't get any payment for the outstanding debt. Now, remember, we learned from the Gemara in Samachloket whether that applies if the Yitomim were adults or only if they're Ketanim. But that's one Mishnah in Masechet Gittin. Then today's Gemara, we spoke about a different type of Shvua. When she's handling this whole sale, does she have to take a Shvua that she didn't get more money than it was worth? Like, you know, she could be running away like a bandit, you know, and stuff like that. That was the question that Rabba asked Rav Yosef. Then Rav Yosef said to him, you know, how come you're not bothered whether there's a hakraza, like a public auction or not? You know, how did you get to the shvua? Maybe it requires a public auction. So he said, oh, you know, he went through a whole thing. He said that it's mashma, like it says that if an almana, if she, you know, seizes property for herself, did nothing. So if there's a hakraza, why is it nothing? So it must be that she didn't do a hakraza for herself, but for other people, then even if there was no hakraza, then she did do a sale. That's what he deduced from Nachman. So the Gemara says no. It's talking about there was a hakraza in that case, and even though she is doing it with a hakraza, she's doing it with a hakraza that's more of a guarantee that everything's on the up and up. But even if she's doing it with a hakraza, then she can't self deal. In other words, she's authorized as an agent for the Yitomim, but not to buy it on for herself. That's the last case with the fellow who bought, you know, some of the property from the Yitomim for himself. And Rabbi Ami said, Man Shamlis, who authorized you to take it for yourself? So the end, the Gemara concludes, she does require shvua that she didn't get more money from the sale than was due. And it means that lawfully due her, but she does not require a hakraza for her sales. Okay.
Can she buy it herself?
No, she can't. Okay. All right. Now, all right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on then.
Isn't it difficult, though, since you have the ketubah money has to come from karka, you often don't have a match between the amount owed and the value.
Right, right. So we're going to come up to that in the next mission now. All right?
Yeah,
Baruch Shekivant. Okay, the next mission is going to deal with when the mount's off. Okay? All right, let's see further. All right, now we're five lines above where it gets wide on Sadi Chedam and Aleph, 98A. Okay, so the Manitin, Amana Shaitak Tamatayim, given Amana, the amount of her ksuba was 200 zuz. In other words, she was a betula when she got married, now she's a widow. He says, Umak Rashab Amana Bamatayim. So she took a piece of karka that was appraised at 100 zuz, but she ended up selling it for 200 zuz. So she did it. In other words, they ended up paying. Well, they ended up paying much more than the true value of it. And so the Meiri says it's not a problem of onah. Onah is like price gouging. Because right, there's no onah by karkaot. Okay. So he says, oh shavim atayim b'mana. Or she seized a piece of property that was the fair market value was 200 zuz, but she undersold it for 100 zuz. So he says, in either one, and we'll discuss in the Gemara, in either one of those situations, we view it that her ksuba is paid off. The ksuba is 200 zuz. So if in the first case, she seized the property that was worth 100 zuz but sold for 200, that's it. He got 200 zuz, goodbye. The second case, it was worth 200 zuz, but she sold it for 100, so that's her hefsed. She undersold the true value. And, you know, too bad, so sad. We'll see in the Gemara. Yeah, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about that, okay? Now, three lines above where it gets wide. I talk to Tamana. Let's say her ksuba was for 100 zuz. Umakra shavamana v'dinar v'mana. And then she sold a piece of property that was worth, a mana is 100 zuz. A dinar is the same as a zuz. She sold a piece of property that was worth 101 dinars, 101 zuz. So, or it can mean she sold a piece of property that's worth more than 100 zuz. But she sold it for 100. B'mana, right. She sold it for 100 zuz. Mechra batel. So here the Tana says that the sale is batel. In other words, she was not authorized to sell a piece of property that was worth more than the value of her ksuba. That's what the Gemara is saying here. The Mishnah is saying, even if she says, look, I'll give the extra dinar to the Yorshim and we'll go forward with that, mechmer batel. The mecher is, you know, a nullity. The sale is a nullity. In other words, she's not authorized to sell anything worth more than the ksuba.
Even if she gets the right price for it.
Right. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, the Olam Mechmer Kayam, Rav Shalil says, no, it is a valid sale, even if she sold a little bit more than her ksuba. He says, Ashte Sham, they should Tishayer Besade Bakisha Kabin, or begin about Khatsi Kab. Unless the amount that's left over, in other words, the amount of property that she, you know, oversold, that extra amount of property would add up to a whole field. In other words, like an identifiable field. So to be a field, Clinton Leal, it has to be Batisha Kabin. If it's enough land to plant nine kav is a measure of wheat or grain or seeds, so then it would be batel, otherwise not. He says uvagina, if it's a garden, bat chati kav, enough for half a kav. Ukedivrei Rabbi Akiva beit rova, according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva, it would be a quarter kav in a gina. Now when we say there's enough left over for a valuable piece of property, meaning there could be enough left over from this sale, or the Yitomim could have other contiguous property together with this that would be that size, so then she's exceeding her authority by selling that property. Now, let's see back in the Gemara, we'll go further. Haitak tubata arba miyot zuz. Let's say her ksuba was for 400 zuz, which is a very nice amount. It says, now there are going to be four pieces of property. Each piece of property is worth 100 zuz. So if everything goes according to plan, she'll be in good shape. He says, Umakra Lize Bamana. He sells to, you know, customer number one for one mana. That's good. Ulize Bamana, customer two for mana. Now he doesn't mention it here, but they say there's a third customer also for mana. Ula Akron, the last customer with the last parcel land, Yafem Mana Bedinar Bamana. So the last piece of property was worth a mana and a dinar, worth 100 zuz, but she sold it, we think, for a mana. She'll akron batel. So the last transaction is batel. That's null and void. So kulam nefren kayam. But the earlier sales are valid sales. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on what we did in the Mishnah?
Is it hurt?
Everyone agrees in the last case that the wait.
Why would Rav Shimon say it's not good?
Yeah, according to Rav Shimon, it is good, right? According to Rav Shimon, it's good. Unless the amount,
much.
Unless right. Okay, what did you want to say? Somebody want to say?
Yes, thank you. Is it her job to sell this, or is it an apotekis job, or is it the Beitin's job?
She's authorized to sell. You know, I guess nothing. You know, maybe she's the one most motivated to get moving with the whole deal. You know, sometimes you have a husband and wife. The wife wants to buy a new house. You know, she's pulling everybody. You know, look at this house, this neighborhood, this, that, the other. You know, she's the most eager one to get the everything done. I assume. Okay, now let's see the Gemara. Okay, now we're two lines.
But she may not be in the most business-like position to accomplish this well if she was kept in the kitchen. You know, it was not a modern woman.
So Fern was saying, maybe she's not the most qualified person to handle the sale of real property. All right, let's take a look. Now, two lines from the bottom. Now, the Gemara says, Mishnah Shavim Matayim B'mana. Now, the first two cases in the Mishnah were that she has a property that's worth 200 zuz. She sells for 100, and then that's it. So that's her, the end of her ksuba, because it was really worth 200, but she so undersold it, so that's too bad. But the other case we had, in the first case, it was worth 100, so she sold it for 200, so that's history, she got it. But the second case, it was worth 200, sold for 100. So my shana shabamatayim b'mana, why is it when she's got to 200 zuz field that she sells for 100 zuz, the Amri law, I've sought it. And was he saying that, that was your loss. You didn't handle the sale right. So tough luck. That was the too bad, so sad. We gave you a property that's worth 200. So it's sold for 100. So don't come crying to us. So then if that's the case, that she's the one who's handling everything, so then how come when it's worth 100, so she sells it for 200, Tema, she should be able to say, Ana arvachta.
I'll keep that money.
Right. In other words, it was only worth 100 zuz. So the 100 zuz I'm going to apply to the ksuba. The other 100, that was my skill that I sold it for more money. That I'm going to pocket. And he's still owe me another 100 zuz. In other words, why is it that in one case we say when it comes to a loss, we say, well, that was you didn't handle it right too well. That was your loss. Tough luck. But when she makes the money, we don't say she gets to keep it on her own account. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Gua. So Rav Nachman says in Rav Gua, turn page, top line on Tzadikim Beis, Kan Shana Rebbe, here Rebbe teaches us. In other words, Rebbe is the Messiah of the Mishnayot. In this halach of the Mishnah, Rebbe's teaching us Hakol Baal Maod, that everything, all the benefit of a sale belongs to the Baal Maod, the principal. In other words, the benefits of a sale always belong to the principal, as we'll see in a minute. Let's look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi. I call the Baal Maod, Hashaleh Shukol Shuk L'Sfora. If a person sends his messenger, his agent to the marketplace, to buy some good, B'lakach B'zol. So he sends him to the marketplace, let's say, to buy a lamb for $100, and he buys the lamb for $50. He says, I call the Baal Maod. In other words, so that extra $50 is left over, that belongs to the Mishaleah. The shliach can say, well, I was a good businessman and I got the sheep $50, so I get to keep the other 50. In other words, everything goes to the Baal Maod. Let's see the top line in the Gemara. The Tani, like we learn in the Braisa, Hosifu lo achat yitera hakol shliach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this is talking about, again, with a person sending a shliach to the market, and if the seller throws in an extra item. In other words, let's say he went to buy 12 apples, and the seller gives him, he gives him an extra apple. He says, Hakol shliach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, that extra apple, that belongs to the shaliach. Rabbi Yossi Omer Cholkin. Rabbi Yossi says, the extra apple is divided between the mishaleach and the shaliach, so they each get half an apple. So the Gemara asks, Vahatanya, but we learn a different brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer HaKol HaBalamaut. And we're going to go with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says everything goes to the Balamaut, to the sender. So how is it that Rabbi Yossi in one brisa says everything goes to the sender, and then in the first brisa he says that they're splitting it with the Shaliach? So Amar Rami Bar Chama Lo Kasha. So Rabbi Chama says there's no contradiction between the two brises. Kama Devar Sheish Lo Kitzva. In the first brisa, we're talking about something that has a definite, clear price. In other words, there's a clear market price for the item. There, we're going to say Cholkin, and we'll explain this in a minute. One minute. Look at Rashi, the fifth narrow line. Sheish Lo Kitzva. Yon Kitni Hanim Kar B'Chanot B'Midah Malay Kli B'Pruta. Like beans, if you sell like a full cup of beans for pruta, imosifu achat yitera, if they give him, I think, one extra cup of kidney, kolkin, they divide it between them. Dematana havoi, it's a gift. Yishlomar l'shliach nitnav, yishlomar l'bala maun. You could argue that the seller intended, you know, either way. So we're going to split it. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, and then kan b'devar she'en lo kitzva, whereas in the second case, where everything goes to the Balamaut, that's something that doesn't have a definite price. Rashi takes it like talit b'chaluk b'yerek. Certain things, Rashi takes it like garments, then they weren't, like the artists said, they weren't sold like they are today, with, you know, everything, you know, is like manufactured, you know, set mounts, like you go and you buy the garment. So it's like you're going to make like your own evaluation for this shirt or whatever. So Rashi says, pamim avakir l'mkor b'zol. Sometimes the seller sells it cheaply, sometimes exactly, you know, the price. I call the bottom out, think pan matana lemether. So that's just a sale. That's just a straight sale. So everything goes to the bottom out. Okay, well, welcome, Daniel. I'll be with you in just 1 minute. So he says, 1 minute. So Amara Papa. So anyway, the basic idea we're saying is that according to the Tanna Rabbi Yossi, if it's something that is the market price, everything is, you know, land is unique. Everybody, you know, calls it. Okay, one second. So therefore, since we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, so either we like Rabbi Yossi Nimu Koimo, like his thing is with him, or when he's cholik with Rabbi Huda, the halakha would be like him. So we're passing like Rabbi Yossi. So again, so the woman, when she you know, she made a tremendous profit on selling the property. Land is not a kitzvah, so it goes to the balam out. Now just one more line, then I'll pause and we'll talk, okay? So the Gemara says, so Amara Papa, line 6 on page 196, this is Tzadi Chenobes. Amara Papa, Hilchata, Devar Sheish Lo Kitzva, Kolkin. So Papa says, Allah, we're going to pass it like Rabbi Yossi. If it's something that has a kitzvah, it's a set price, and then they're able to, the Shliach is able to get a wonderful deal with it. So the both of them, right, divide it like that apple. Devar Sheish Lo Kitzva, Hakul Abalam Out. So the Gemara says, my Kamash Malan. So what does Rabbi Papa teach me? So it could be, either, why doesn't Rabbi Papa just say the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi? Or it could be that, why does he have to say anything? We know the halacha certainly follows Rabbi Yossi. So he says, Mike Mashmalan, Shinuyi the Shanina and Shinuyahu. He was teaching that the way we explain the two brises is the correct way to explain the brises. We had a stira within Rabbi Yossi to what Rabbi Papa was really saying, that the way we explain the stira is the correct resolution of the stira. Okay, now let me just pause for 1 minute, and then we'll take.
How many ways did we?
In other words, we had two brises, and one Rabbi Yossi said Tolkien, right, and one he said Hakol Abalamau. Right. So then we explained in the Gemara, or that was Rami Bar Chama said that one is talking about there's a kitzvah, one not a kitzvah. Right. So if he would just say the Lacha follows Rabbi Yossi, I don't know. You know, I don't even know if one is talking about a kitzvah, not a kitzvah. In other words, but instead he says, if there's a kitzvah, then it's kolkin, not a kitzvah. We're not kolik. Okay, yeah. Let me just say a few words, and then I'll pause. Did you follow online before or not? You were
yes. Oh, I tried.
Okay. 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 Just one. Let me just summarize what we did, and then we'll okay. All right. Okay, let's all focus for a minute. Okay. Okay, let's all focus. So what we spoke about is if a person sends a shliach to the marketplace, let's say to buy something, and the shliach does a wonderful deal in the marketplace and gets the item much cheaper than he, you know, was sheep. Sent to get. Like my example was he gives him $100 to buy a sheep, and he buys the sheep for $50. So who gets that? And here's $100 to buy a sheep, and he buys the sheep for $50. Who gets the extra $50? So we had a machloket in the first brisa, but it came out la halacha that we follow Rabbi Yossi, and the halacha is that if it's a davar sheishel kitzvah, there's a set price in the market for it, then they're going to be cholek. In other words, the balamau, the principal, and the shliach will divide the profit between them. And there, the way Rashi was taking it, it's not clear who the, let's say he sent them to buy apples, and apples are, $10 for a dozen, and instead he gives them 13 apples instead of 12. So that's a set price, but the seller gave him an extra apple. So it's not clear who he sent, gave the extra apple to. So we're going to divide it between the mishaleach and the shaliach, as we said. But if, on the other hand, it's davar she'ein lo kitzvah, it's something like unique, and there's no set price for anything. So then we're going to say, everything goes to the balam hal. So okay, just one second with this. Now, he's got a couple of different svaras with this whole thing, and then we'll talk about some cases, and we'll see what we do here. Now, first, he mentions. So the way he says it here, the Gemara rules that if the item purchased do not have a fixed price, the sender Reuven is entitled to the extra items included in the purchase, because we assume that the seller did not intend to give it to the shliach as a gift, rather he decided to lower the price. In other words, I don't know, but if the price, if the items obtained by the shliach have a fixed price, then it's apparent that the extra items were included as a gift, and the gift should be equally divided between Reuven and the shliach. Okay, now now he quotes here, Rabbeinu Tam rejects Rashi's reasoning. There's a general rule, in case of doubt, we say Amotzi Mechavero Lavaraya, that the burden of proof is the one who's, the burden of proof is on the one who wishes to exact money from his fellow. And the Muchzak, when in possession of the money in question, retains the money. Since the Shliach is the Muchzak, he's the one who's walking around with the money, he should be permitted to keep the money in his possession till Reuven proves he was the intended beneficiary of the seller's gratuity. So he says here, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif explain the Shliach and Reuven are partners in the bonus. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif want to say that the Mishaleach and the Shliach, vis-a-vis that extra bonus, my example, the extra apple, they're partners in it. It was acquired through a mutual venture. Reuven provided the money for the purchase, which the bonus resulted. The Shliach executed the purchase. He says, therefore, they are required to divide the bonus items acquired through the purchase. That's the way he wants to take it. Now, he has, I'll give a case, and then we'll talk in a minute. I'm switching from the Aleph Daf now to the Morot Daf Yomi, and you can see a lot of interesting cases come up with this. He says there was a Jew who loved doing crossword puzzles. And he says he was like proud, I'm doing the best translation I can with this, with his abilities, but he was embarrassed to like reveal himself to other people. So on one of the occasions when he worked out a very complicated crossword puzzle, he saw underneath the page, I guess the newspaper, it said that it's going to be like a valuable prize that will be given, it sounds like with a lottery, with the people who were able to, successfully, complete this crossword puzzle. So he very much divided, he wanted the prize, but he didn't feel comfortable that they would print his name in the newspaper. So he came up with an idea that he's going to put his neighbor's name in. So he gave the neighbor's name. I get right. So the neighbor, knew about it, and he figured, oh, it's my neighbor. He must have done this. He's the one who's always with the crossword puzzles. Fine. But at the end of the day, though, he won like a nice amount of money, a nice prize. And the issue became, who's entitled to this prize? Is it the one who solved the crossword puzzle? Or is it the neighbor whose name he sent in? So our sugya talks about, the thing with Shliach. Reuven sent Shimon, with the whole thing, and then there's the Tosefet. Who gets the Tosefet? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yossi, the Shliach and the Mishleach are cholek the Tosefet. In other words, they divide the bonus. So why? He's matam. He says, "There's machloket rishonim." Rashi says, "Where's the safek on who the seller intended to give the Tosefet to?" So they have to divide it. And the Ramban agrees with Rashi on that. But the Rif and the Rush, they say the halacha is a different. Takana Chachamim, the Shura didn't, the Tosefet should be shishleif to the Shliach. But at the end of the day, the sender gave him the money. So it was like we said before, it's like a partnership. It's like a joint venture, in a sense. So Rashi wants to say we're Mesupak who gets it, and the other would say is joint venture. So the difference between these two analyses, if the seller says explicitly the Tosefet is for the Shliach, you with me, Yosef, look like you're losing off here. He says, if he says explicitly, I'm giving the Tosefet to the Shliach, so, according to Rashi, then Badai, the Shliach gets it. In other words, if the seller says, it was Worm Supak, we're Mesupak who we intended to benefit from it. But if he says explicitly, I want this for the Shliach, then according to Rashi, the Shliach gets the whole thing. But according to the Rif and the Rush, the Shliach still has to buy it with the Mishaleach because it's a joint venture. So, even though he says, I want the Shliach to get it, but we view them as joint venturers, and joint venturers with the Tosefet. So Mela, now they have to still split it. So now, wait, I didn't say right. That's about right. Right. Now, he said, now I don't see, one second.
Matanai.
Now, this I don't understand, though. He says in the next line, I don't understand this. He says everybody agrees when the seller says explicitly the Tosefet is always for the Mishaleach, right? He says, but if you with me, you're falling asleep on me. If the seller says this is for the Mishaleach, then everybody agrees the Shliach gets nothing. If he says this is for the Mishaleach, then everybody gets nothing. So I guess that's the end of that joint venture deal. Now,
what about his labor?
Wait two minutes. So Lechora, he says there's no, basis for the tine of this neighbor that he's entitled to this whole winning, because certainly the intention of the people who arranged this whole lottery was to give it to the person who is able to solve the crossword puzzle, and so there's no tefkanas chachamim that should give it to anybody, to anybody else. But notwithstanding that, he quotes from the Sefer Abi Asaf, one of the Rishoni Ashkenaz, and says, "Chamer Wurmitaki and the Shliach and Shliach should divide the Tosefet, because at the end of the day, this Breva comes out through both of them, and we could say that both of them had the mazel that caused it. Based on that Sefer, we could kind of argue maybe the Shaken is right, because, in other words, there was a lottery involved. In other words, the lottery is available to the people who solved the crossword puzzle. But at the end of the day, they won the lottery. So this Abi Asaf wants to say that maybe the person could argue it's my mazel that did it. So here the shocking could argue my mazel caused you to win the lottery, that type of thing. Okay, now what do you got for me, Fern? Let me hear.
If the person with the orchard says to the apple guy, to the shaliach, this is for your boss, these extra apples.
Right.
It's more of a tircha for him to carry all the extra apples. Does he get something for the added tircha?
I mean the answer is I don't know, but I would think that I hire somebody to go to the marketplace, bring back apples. If he brings back an extra bag of apples, it's part of the job. That's what I would think. Okay, listen, time is running out. I don't know where the time went, but I got to run. I got to run right now.
I have a couple of questions over here also.
Okay, we'll give Daniel one question because he's patient. Give me your best question, Daniel.
Honestly, I would have thought over here, if they're coming and giving it to you for the shaliach, it's his bonus, it's a matana. I want to give to the shaliach, or even if it comes down to the price, but the person who buys it said, I'm going to give you more because I like you.
Okay. So, giving to you. Okay, so again, we had a couple of different sfaras with this. So, one sfar was that we don't know who he wants to give it to, but if he would say, I want to give it to the shaliach, then the shaliach would get it. But then other Rishonim say, it's not that we're misup. In other words, why do we say yachloku? Do we say yachloku because we don't know what he intended?
Like a soap
Or is it or is it yachloku because they're like joint venturers? In other words, with respect to that Tosefe, in other words, I hired you for X, but now you got more than X. So you got more than X, but I gave you the money to get more than X. You couldn't have got more than X without my money. So we're like joint venturers and it split us. So then this big nafkamina, whether I say one way or the other way. So if I say that I don't know, and he says I want the shliach to get it, so then we know. But if he says this word with yachloku because they're joint venturers, so he could say I want to give the shliach from day till tomorrow, but it's a joint venture. I gotta move on. That's it. Now let's go back on the Gemara. Now the Gemara says around the 10th line. So Ibai Lahu, the question was asked to the base medrash, Amar Le, Zavinli Litva. Let's say it's nothing to do with a woman or anything like that. It's just a transaction. A principal says to an agent, I want you to sell a letek. A letek land is half a kur. Kur is a large area of land. I want you to sell a letek as half a kur. Ba'azal b'zavinli kura. And then he went and he sold the whole kur. So he went outside the scope of his agency or his authority. So my, what's the halacha in that case? Most of the Barbhuvalifamiekani, do we say he exceeded his authority, but so much of it, the Letech, that is a good sale, but above Letech not? He says, Odilma Naviro Dvarabhu Valifanami Lokani. Or do we say he didn't follow instructions and there's no sale at all? In other words, so that's the question of Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov in the Harpa Code, Mishmei the Rabina, Tashma. So we're going to try to extrapolate the answer to this from a Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah. Now, just to refresh everybody's recollection, Me'ilah is when you usually b'shogeg, you wrongfully used or ate something from Hekdesh. That's Me'ilah, and you have to pay a Karen V'chomish and bring a Korban Me'ilah. And then remember, Me'ilah has an exception. Normally we say this Ein Shlichus the Dvar Aveira. You can't have Shlichus for an Aveira. But by Me'ilah, because I learned based on Psukim that there is Shlichus. So if Bala Bayis tells the Shliach to commit an act of Me'ilah, the Shliach follows his instructions, the Bala Bayit commits the act of Me'ilah. That's an outlier. That's
not the Shliach?
Not the Shliach. No, just the Bala Bayit. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So Tashma, Amar Bala Bayit L'Shlucho, Bala Bas said to his Shliach, Tein Lehen Chatich L'Orchin. I want you to give one piece of meat to each one of the guests. The Hu Omer, and he says to the guest, to Lushtayim, take two pieces of meat. And they decided to take three. So the Balabai said, take one piece of meat. The Shliach said, go take two. And then the guests helped themselves to three pieces of meat. Somehow it has a ring of truth for this sort of thing. So now then it turns out that the pieces of meat they took were
heck. Would never do that.
Okay. You're being recorded. Now, now it turns out the meat was hekdesh. The meat was hekdesh. So hekdesh doesn't, I don't think it necessarily is a korban. I think it could be that it was like, you know, just property that belonged to the base mikdash, right? So he says, kulon ma'alu. So the Tana Mishnah says that everyone committed an act of me'ilah. The Balabas committed an act of me'ilah because he told his agent to sell, to give one away. And then the agent did an act of me'ilah because he said take two. And the eaters, because they said three. So now the Gemara wants to extrapolate from there and answer to our question. So if I say when you're mosif on Devarim, it's effective. In other words, I said he authorized me to do A, and I said, you know, A and B. So if I say that is effective vis-a-vis A, so then it makes sense. In other words, since the Shliach, you know, the Balabai said give one piece of meat, and he gave two pieces of meat, but one piece of meat he was authorized to give. So for the one piece of meat, he was acting as the shliach, and for piece number two, he was acting as his own agent or his own person. So then that makes sense. Eli Amrit Mav Yerol Devarav Havi. But if you say that when I exceed your instructions, I'm not following your instructions at all. I'm doing my own thing. He says Balabayit Amay Mal. So then why, in this case, do we consider that the Balabas did Me'ilah? It's interesting. You know, I'm talking to you now. I'm thinking about a different case, which maybe I'll come to in a minute. There's a piece of mind, if I get Shemin, okay, from the Chabad Chaim. Okay, Bahatnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Hashliach Shasa Shlichuto Balabai Ma'al. If a Shliach performs the Shlichus, then the Balabas has committed an act of Me'ilah. The Balabas said, do A, the Shliach does A, then the Balabas says Me'ilah. Loas Shlichuto, but if he deviates from the instructions, he says Shliach Ma'al. Then the Me'ilah is attributable to the Shliach. So since we see here that there's an act of Mila from the Balabas and from the Shliach, so it sounds like we have an answer to our question. When I authorize you to sell Letach and you sell, I sell Kurs, so the Letach you did sell.
Yes.
So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara deflects the proof. Hakamai Askinan, what's the case in the Mishnah? The Amar Lahu, in other words, Tlu Achat Midato Shabalabayat Bachat Midati, Mishakluinu Klat. So the Gemara says the case in the Mishnah could be where the Shliach said explicitly, I'm authorized by my Balabas to give you one piece. And so take one piece as part of my authorization, and then one piece on my own, you know, decision. And then they did the third on their own. So Mela there, he's setting everything for, so that could be. But where he just comes and sells a kur, or he just says, take two pieces, it's not Mukhrak. What?
How is that different? In other words, he explicitly comes and tells him that one of them I'm giving to from my permission, but Balabait was not willing to.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he says. Okay, so that's different. Okay, now let me just.
But the Balabait still takes the hit for the first piece.
Right. Correct. Okay, but we don't have an answer to our question though. Our question is: where a Balabas, let's say by a land sale, he authorized the shliach to sell letek a land. The shliach sells a kur of land. Is that an effective transaction vis-a-vis the letek or not? We don't have an answer to that question yet. Okay, let's see if we can find it out from our Mishnah, and then I'll mention a little bit. We're going to go into late Mariah. Okay, now. Okay, we're 8 lines from the bottom. So Tashma, so we're going to now, we'll relate back to our Mishnah. It says Tashma, Haitak Tubatam Mana, if her Ksuba was for one mana, Umakra Shavamana Bedinar Bamana. She sold a piece of property that, the way I explained it before, that was worth a mana and a dinar, 101 zuz for a mana. Mithra Batel. So the sale is Batel. So the Gemara understands the Mishnah differently than the way I explained it originally. The Gemara says, my love, the Zavin Shabamana Vidinar, Bimana Vidinar. Is it not that she sold the piece of land that was worth 101 zuz, and she sold it for 101 zuz, Umay Bimana, and what does the Tana mean that she sold it for a mana? Mana Shalah. In other words, she sold it. Umay Bimana, Mana Shalah. In other words, she sold it to satisfy the outstanding amount that was due in her exuba, which was a mana. And he says, Umaya filu, and what does it mean? The Mishnah, title of the Mishnah says, let's go back to the Mishnah. He says, where is it? Afilu hi omerit aksir dinar, right. Even if she says, I'll get back to dinar, Umaya filu hi omerit aksir dinar, liyorshim v'dina mekarkai. She says that even if she says, I'll give back one dinar worth of land to the yorshim, he says, we learned that her sale was Baka. All right, let me just do the proof first, and then we'll talk. So she was authorized to sell a piece of land that was worth a mana. But instead, she sold a piece of land that was worth 101 ma'zuz. So she exceeded her authority, and she sold it for 101 zuz. And nevertheless, the Tana Mishnah says, and then she offers, I'll give you back a sliver of land that, you know, for the one zuz, but mithra batel, the whole sale is a nullity. So we want to bring a proof there that if a person exceeds their authority, it's a nullity. The whole thing is a zero. That's the proof we want to say. That's the proof we want to say from the Mishnah. Okay, now, 2 lines from the bottom, and then we're going to have to go soon. So Amar Rav Huna b'Reish Rav Natan, lo, v'da ozil. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Natan, says, no, the case of the Mishnah is not the way you just said it. The case of the Mishnah is the way I explained it originally, that she took a piece of land that was worth 101 zuz and sold it for 100 zuz. That's the case in the Mishnah. And the ksuba was 100. One second. So he says, so the last Rashi, but the Oziel, Mishmahachi Mikra Batel, the Tata Shemach Rashavamana, the Dinar Bamana. In other words, she. 1 second.
With Oda Mane.
Yeah, but 1 second. I just want to see one thing here. One second. Right. She undercharged for the field. Right. So the atonement can say, the tikuni shtarticha v'lo la'avati. In other words, I authorize you to help my situation, not to mess me up in the situation. So you messed up with that sale. He says, but had she sold the land at its actual price, the sale would have been valid. He said, since an agent exceeds instructions, merely adding them, not violating them, as he does not abrogate his agency. So, in other words, it's not in other words, here she undersold the property, and that's why it's mefer batel. But had she sold it for its true value, maybe the mefer would have been a good sale. That's what the Gemara thinks. Okay, but that's what we think. Okay, now I'll just do a few lines, and we'll continue on tomorrow with this.
But the poor girl didn't.
One minute. On the top line, the Gemara says, "Have the safer for the ozil, have a ratio below ozil." So the Gemara says, "Look, the safer the Mishnah is where she undersold. So logically, the earlier case of the Mishnah is not where she undersold it." He says, "The katani safer, because we learned in the safer, I touched to tell arvamiot zuz if her ksuba was 400 zuz." He tells to A, B, and C, each one per mana, three parcel land. The last person, she takes a piece of land, which is worth 100 zuz, and sells for 100 zuz. So since the last case is where she undersold, the earlier case must be where she didn't undersold it, she didn't undersell it, but she exceeded her authority. So the Gemara says, he says, no, it could be that they're both talking about the case where she undersold it. Because the finish of the Seifa is that she's underselling when her amount of the ksuba is totally paid off. So then that's Mechra Batel. But if she undersells it and there's still money due and owing on her ksuba, Mechra Kaya. So that's what the early part they're speaking. I'll go over Blina tomorrow with this. Okay, let me just say one thing that I wanted to say before. We spoke about if a person is authorized to do A and he exceeds his authority, is A good or not? You know, so there's a piece of Torah from the Chafetz Chaim. I have to make it quick because we had to go inside from Arab and we're in the Sukkah. But it has to do with Shaul. When he in Parshat Zachor, so the Haftorah says, I think Daniel has heard this from me because he comes to my Parshat Shirim. But in the Haftorah says, so Shmuel says to Shaul kills off all the Amalekim, but he leaves Agag alive and he leaves the animals alive. So Shmuel says to him, "Batas harab eni Hashem, you did that which was evil in God's eyes." So why is it evil? He did 90% of what Hashem did. Last 10% he didn't do. In other words, killed 10,000 people, so he killed 9,999, and killed the animals, he didn't kill the animals. So why is it you did that which is evil in God's eyes? So the Chafetz Chaim said that when you don't do fully what Hashem commands you, he's marred that everything was just murder. In other words, if he's doing the mitzvah is A. But he's not doing the mitzvah, he's doing less than the mitzvah. So he's showing it's not really a mitzvah, he's just doing his own agenda. So he's just guilty of like a war crime, that type of thing. So he's doing the Hashem. So I thought it related to this Gemara. Like, it's not exactly, here we're talking about a commercial transaction, but when you're authorized, when the Mishleach tells you to do A, and then you go beyond, here's not, it's also, here it's doing beyond, and here it's doing less, but it's sort of a little related. Okay, I got to run, I apologize. Okay, let me get the recording, one second.